Yeah, here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellinger Show. And you too, TD. I'm telling you, she's going to win like fourth time in a row. Cairo Radio.
It is no big deal. Well,
it's no big deal for you, Sherry, TD. But for Sherry, it's kind of a sticks in her craw that she hasn't won yet. But that's all right. Next week, Sherry. Big news. I don't know if it's breaking news or not, but Joe found out, you know, Jason, our buddy that's had the longest, you know, the guy that was living in his van with his dog, mm-hmm. the squatter was living in his house. Well, apparently, we got to get him on the show, Joe, either today or tomorrow, because that guy's, everybody's going to pick up on this story. And we like to think we had this guy first, but they dragged the guy out of, did they drag him out of the house?
They dragged him out of the house. He said he's down there right, Jason's down there right now. He's got all his stuff on the sidewalk. They're having a little party. Oh.
Sweet justice.
What?
Because I knew he went to court. He went to court, and remember they told him come back in like
March.
March. Oh, then there we go. So that's what happens. March. Sherry, brother, it's breaking news. Wow. It's March. How about that? How about two breaking stories at one time? It's March. And I guess they got in there and they're sick of him.
Should we just have him on next at 4:30?
Yes, okay. Yes. Right. Get his song. Let's find out what happened. Plus, hopefully he got video of them dragging him out. I'm sure the guy was screaming and yelling at him. That guy was in there for the longest time not paying rent. You know, said, oh, yeah, $1,000 and didn't pay him the thing. And then had set up an Airbnb. So was then using the home to make money while Jason was not in the home, couldn't go to the home. And basically, the guy was just doing the old squatter number on the place. So after how many months? I don't know, more than a year and something. They finally dragged him out. So, yeah, let's find out what the deal on that is. So first time, this is the European Union has passed the first AI legislation. I guess trying to control it as best they possibly can. Elon Musk said, you know what, I'm going to break away from Ackerman, who's running the AI stuff, because they're not doing it for humanitarian purposes, whatever that was going to be. Who knew the profit margins would rush in there and have something to do with it? So what's the what are they doing in Europe for it, Sherry?
Well, they're determining what how unsafe a particular thing is. So it's three categories of risk: unacceptable to low hazard. And I guess when they make that determination, they'll decide whether or not it can go forward. It's called the EUAI Act, and it's the first global standard in AI. They think that they need to push AI in a direction where humans can control it. Although the critics of this are saying whatever they do or whatever they think they're going to do to control all this, the technology is happening so fast, it'll be outdated by the time this even gets implemented.
Yeah, and you know, there's Tyler Perry announced, was it like 3 weeks ago, that he was going to spend $800 million and build a great big soundstage in Atlanta, because Atlanta gets a lot of movies now. And he said, I'm going to put everything on hold for a while and see how all this AI stuff shakes out, because you're not going to need anybody, writers and scene setting and props. I mean, they're going to be able to do so much with this. But you're right. The legislation's always going to be at least, you know, 2 or 3 years behind it. And there's no way that they're going to be able to keep up, because however they write the law, somebody will find some way around it. And AI will continue to just find more and more places where people can be. Again, we talked about this the other day. I think the greatest damage that can be done with it is the deep fakes. It was known as deep fakes a couple of years ago. I don't even think they even use that term anymore, where you can make it look like that's the actual person saying those actual things, and you can't even tell anymore, right? Now, anchors are being replaced with AI. The Wall Street Journal has that story today. TV anchors being replaced. The person is like, who is that? You could just get somebody to sit there and read the news and do stupid crosstalk, and, you know, you could start to get rid of some of those anchors that are in front of those cameras, and they'll always look great, and they never get old, and they never mess up, and people are like, oh yeah, I like her. Like, she's not real. Like, I don't care, I like her.
So what?
I like that one. I like that one. I like the blonde on the right. So AI also taking over when it comes to California. There's finally now, because they passed the law that you have to pay somebody $20 an hour to make French fries, and that is now the number. So now the number is, you get an employee. First time hire gets in there at $20 an hour. You're going to pay the manager more money. They can't find anybody to work in those places, even though they put $20 an hour. So a lot of them are either going out of business, or in this case, they say, well, this is it. the industry, AI industry, is just waiting for the government to jack that minimum wage up. And now,
well, the robots have arrived, at least in Pasadena, California. That's where the world's first ever fully autonomous AI-powered restaurant has opened, complete with burger flipping bots. We sent CBS's Joy Benedict on a taste test.
Flippy the chef makes Spud spectacular.
It's Flippy, Sherry.
This automated grill gives the meat its sizzle as this restaurant goes robotic.
For this burger, it would take about 120 seconds.
Cali Express by Flippy is the world's first AI-powered eatery. There's new technology outside the kitchen, too.
A cheeseburger.
Order kiosks use facial recognition to remember you, your favorite food, and how you like to pay. Then watch the robots work.
How embarrassing.
No humans required.
We can't get enough people to come out to work on fryers and grills and their dangerous jobs. And this automation helps solve a lot of those issues.
62% of restaurants report being understaffed. Industry experts say most of those unfilled jobs could be done by robots. And in California, where the minimum wage for most fast food workers will soon be $20 an hour, fewer workers equals cost savings. Dan Ives is with Wedbush Securities, a wealth management firm.
Once the minimum wage went to 20, that's the bell going off. More and more focus on spending on AI. Because, look, that's inflationary. That's the problem. You can't necessarily pass.
Yep. And then the true minimum wage will be $0. So when the government stepped in and said everybody's got to get paid $20 an hour, except for Gavin Newsom's buddy that owns Panera Bread, there was a carve-out for Panera. All the others had to pay $20 an hour. But for some reason, if you make bread on location, then you didn't have to. People are like, huh? That seems suspicious. Mm-hmm. And then somebody there wrote for the papers like, oh, look at this. The guy that owns Panera Bread is also a big contributor to Gavin Newsom. I mean, it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. And when they asked him about it, he's like, well, you know, it makes sense to me. Shouldn't have to pay that $20 minimum wage if you're making fresh bread. People are like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Who couldn't the French see that bread connection? Exception.
The fresh bread. Yeah, those people don't deserve anything.
I think this is such a great idea, and I think it's going to end up taking over, and it just makes sense. People don't really want to do those jobs anyway, and if the machines can do it, and they can do it faster and more efficiently, why not?
But wait, Sherry, what do you mean people don't want to do those jobs? No one wants to do any job. Most people don't want to work.
What I meant was
people are like they don't want that job, but they got to get some job, right?
Well, yeah, but they can't find people that want to do that job. All of them are short staffed. They don't have enough people that will do it, so the machines will do it.
Right, which I don't understand. And there are a lot of people that are just simply have completely dropped out of the workforce. In fact, every time you hear a bell ring like that, that's another person dropping out of work. So it's like they don't want to work at all. It's like, I don't got to work there at McDonald's. That's humiliating. Oh, is it less humiliating to sit at home and be on welfare? Nope. Because I'd rather get paid to do nothing than to go in there and be made fun of by my friends that might come in and see me in there. But there's a lot of people that work in those fast food restaurants. Like to them, it's a job. It's a first-time job. Most people that are under the age of 21, they spend some time in the fast food world. I know you did, Sherry, when you worked at Roy Rogers. And when
I
people
did.
Would step up to the counter, and you'd have to say,
howdy, partner. Can I take your order?
Such enthusiasm.
And then I quit. Why?
Because your friends would come in all the time just to make you say, howdy, partner. Can I take your order?
Oh, no, it was much worse than that. I quit because my manager wouldn't give me the night off for a Peter Frampton concert.
Oh, that's what it was. Didn't you explain to him Frampton Comes Alive, the double album set where he was using the voice thing? That thing was doing.
Did you have that live? Did you have any of those giant posters? Like I had a Peter Frampton poster that took up half the wall. And my dad would come in and he'd go, that guy looks like he's got the mange. Because he was like, kind of like, had a weird sort of chest.
I don't remember the chest. I remember the hair. I remember the double album hair. Set. Yeah. And Amanda Miller, who I wanted to impress, who was riding the bus, who got picked up before me, I thought, I will impress her by carrying my Peter Frampton.
This is
Frampton
funny
Comes
story.
Alive double album onto the bus. I'd walk slowly by her while I was carrying it. And my brother's like, what are you doing? I said, Chuck, you don't understand. She's really going to be impressed by my Peter Frampton Comes Alive double album. So I slowly walked by her as I was heading to my seat. And there she was. She looked over at me. She knew. No, you want Frampton Comes Alive. Whatever the. But which one is this?
Frampton Comes Alive. It's the 14 minute version.
Feel like I do. So I'm sitting there after I got her attention and she knew how cool I was. I'm sitting in the back, Sherry, right? And the bus stops suddenly and one of the albums on the double album rolls out of its little case and gets in the groove of the bus that normally was there only to capture vomit. And it rolls all the way down, all the way to Betty, the bus driver. And she yells out, who lost an LP? Who lost an LP? An LP. And she's holding it up. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now I have to get up, walk to the front of the bus.
Walk of shame.
Oh. So
I take it that your master plan to, what was her name, Debbie?
No, I'm not going to say now.
Okay, last so name, the master plan
yes,
for Ms. Miller
yes.
didn't exactly turn out as you hoped.
Well, as the story would go, Sherry, just 4 months later, I was making out with her over at Connie Lex's house at a pool party. So, boom! Boom! Take it up! There you go. What the hell are we even talking about?
Oh, Roy Rogers, fast food, robots.
Never mind. I'm lost. Show makes no sense. Ken Buck resigns. JFK. Oh, here we go. Let's do this one. JFK Jr., who's polling about 50% in the polls. I'm sure everyone's waiting to find out who will he choose for his VP. Like, really? Like, yeah.
Did you say 15%?
So, yeah, he's at 15%.
Wow, that's higher than I thought. No, that's just, I expected less.
Yeah, okay, well, don't. That's JFK Jr. And where's the sound on this one? Where is it? Is he in there somewhere?
It's the Pat McAfee one.
Oh, okay. Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee. So here we go. Who will RFK Jr. choose?
Now, when the news broke on the internet yesterday that from the New York Times that RFK Jr. had Aaron Rodgers as one of the finalists for his potential vice president in his independent presidential run that is currently taking place, obviously the world
exploded.
I did not expect this one. You know, I had no idea this one was going to happen. I started thinking back. You can see how RFK Jr. maybe Aaron really ruffled some feathers in the politics world. Yeah, we happen to be in the middle of that.
Yep. Sure. Uh-huh.
And I didn't necessarily love the feathers that were ruffled because I had to be in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the absolute storm. But hey, listen, Aaron Rodgers, friend of the program, friend of ours. This is how he feels.
About myself.
He's one of the greatest.
It was Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura.
I know. Hold on. We're letting McAfee keep
quarterbacks
going.
In the history of football. This is how he feels. You're learning that's journalism. Okay?
Yeah, journalism.
You're learning about this particular person. So I reached out to a source.
Says,
from my understanding, there is a chance that said person that is potential future vice president for an independent president, if that was ever to happen, first time ever in the history of the United States of America, never really got more than, like, I think, 4% vote or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
If it happens, though.
19,
I've done a lot of
Russ
quick research
Perot.
Here over the last day. I'm sure there's people that know a lot more.
Me.
That man, the world found out while that man was in Costa Rica, that vice president.
Yeah.
So whenever that picture is posted, Jordan Poyer, Aaron Rodgers, we can allude now from our source, down in Costa Rica right now.
Correct.
What are they doing in Costa Rica? We assume there's a chance they're going to take a visit to the blank
lot. Exactly. That's right. Getting ready to sit with the medicine.
They are ready to sit with the medicine. Yep.
What?
Okay. Wow. What was all that? Thanks, Joe,
what was
for all that?
That.
I don't know, but
he means you were at an ayahuasca ceremony.
Okay. I'd rather go back to that Scottish guy. He made more sense.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I like it with those unhatched eagle eggs and throw it in his face. All right, so there's two choices. It's Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, who is just got a lot of weird conspiracy theories around that guy. Plus, and now Aaron Rodgers possibly getting the nod to be VP. It's like, golly, really anybody going to respond to that?
Aaron Rodgers has said nothing about this, by the way. He hasn't weighed in at all. But RFK Jr. says his pick has already accepted.
Oh.
So if those were the only two choices, who knows which one it is?
It was, wasn't it, was Ross Perot's guy the admiral? Who am I? What am I doing here? What the hell is that?
I felt so bad for him.
How come I can count my teeth with my tongue?
Oh, and I felt bad for him because he did the worst thing possible you can do in this country, and that's look bad on television. And he just didn't have, he's a really good guy, and he's actually a very smart man, but he just wasn't used to all of the cameras and how to be on TV.
I read about that debate 2 or 3 hours before he got there. They put him in like a really crappy RV, didn't have any air conditioning. There was like no food for him. He was just like, he was in the RV. What am I doing here? How's this toilet work? Mm. I ad-libbed that. I just assume he struggled with the RV toilet. Most people do.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Sherry. I'll make sure to check that before I take my car over to Buggy's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations. The only question is, which one do I take my car to? They're all great. They've been around for 53 years. Thank you, Buggy. Yeah! Guy Jason Roth has probably been singing this song for, I don't know, a year now or something. Ever since he rented his home to a guy that said he'd pay the rent but then didn't pay the rent. And then Roth was forced to live in his van with his dog and get all sorts of national news. Even Elon Musk picked up on it. But it all starts and ends right here, Jason. What happened a couple of hours ago at your home with the squatter that had been living in there? What happened?
The sheriff kicked him out.
Well, thanks for joining us. Wow. So, those that have been following this story, how long has that guy been in your home?
He's been in the home for 2 years, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Did they arrest him or just tell him
to
get going?
It's a civil issue. They show up. You know, he's had so many warnings, and the sheriff posted everything has been done correctly, but he still just didn't leave. I mean, sheriff says you can't be in here anymore, brings him to the street, and then me and my amazing family and friends moved all this crap out.
What's it like picking? So somebody's in your house for 2 years. How much did he actually pay you of the rent that you were owed?
$1,000 total.
Okay, so 2 years, $1,000. Yeah, do the math. Let me ask you this. Did you go to court the other day? Didn't something happen in court? Because I think somebody was supposed to wrap all this thing up in sometime this week or a couple weeks ago, right?
So here's what happened. I had a great attorney, but he wasn't super familiar with evictions. And I joined Rental Housing Association, and it just totally changed the game. They recommended... a way better attorney, which got me a settlement with this guy. So we didn't have to go to court. Basically, no money exchanged hands, you know, if he leaves the house. He ended up not leaving the house on the day he said he would. But the sheriffs are working overtime to get these evictions done, and they came and booted him out. So it's really all thanks to Rental Housing Association. They basically, like, gave me a crash course on how to do anything landlord, you know, in the last month.
Because this journey that you've been on, as arduous as has been, it's been very educational. There are countless other landlords, small-time landlords like yourself, that have to deal with this. They can't get these people out. So what's the name of the association again that people might want to call if they want to get some sort of help?
Well, I would not look into being a landlord in Washington State unless you were a rental housing association member. Like,
yes.
Unless you were a rental, because the laws are changing so fast that even the lawyers can't keep up with them. And this association, I know this sounds like a plug, but it's like they solved this problem for me by like training me and like teaching me and getting me up to speed, you know, recommending a better lawyer, which made the difference. Like I said, you can't keep up with all the changing laws unless you have someone doing that for you.
Did you take video, or did anybody take video of them throwing this miscreant to the street?
I had some family members that were here with their iPhones. I'm sure someone did.
Mm. Was the guy screaming at you? Yeah.
He was just sort of like confused on why this was happening. Which I'm looking at him like, really? You mean you haven't had an entire year of not paying a free rent to think about what's going to happen, and then you waited till the bitter end? It's just like, yeah, man, I don't know what you're confused about.
What was the condition of the house?
Not bad. The guy wasn't a messy guy. He was just full of his stuff. I mean, he just made no effort to move when he said he would.
So now you've got his stuff on the side of the road. Can he claim anything like that you tried to take his things or whatever? I mean, it's just, it's out there for him to come and collect.
I don't want any of his, I don't even, barely could walk in the house. That's how little I want to do with his stuff. His stuff is sitting on the road. He has 24 hours to pick it up. I am not responsible for it. You know, I've had people driving by asking if it's for free and I'm saying, not yet. But yeah, I'm hoping he comes and gets it. Otherwise, I'm responsible for disposing of it.
You really? You're on the hook?
Oh yeah. Like, I'm responsible for taking it to the dump. And the other thing was that if you're a landlord and you get to go through an eviction and there's food or like chemicals out and someone gets into it and gets hurt, like that's on me.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you're a better man than I. If I were moving the squatter stuff out, I wouldn't be so careful with it. I'd be like, here's a box marked glass delicate.
Shock at
the window.
I'm with you, John. But at the same time, like I feel like there's people standing by waiting for me to do something wrong. So it's like,
yeah, that's right.
I'm absolutely trying to be on my best behavior this whole time. And that's another reason why it's so important to join a group like Rental Housing Association, because if you miss a tiny step in this process, you're screwed and you got to start all over. And I did things pretty correctly and it took me a year.
So now where this guy, is he protected by the law that the next landlord / sucker won't know that this guy does this to people?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the settlement is that it doesn't get reported to credit, and there's nothing on his record. I mean, he has other things on his record. He doesn't have the cleanest record, but this is not going to be on his record.
Hey, Jason, didn't you say that he got served while he was getting evicted by somebody else?
That happened, and I don't know what it was. I don't know who it was, but he owes someone else money, and they were scoping the situation, I guess, and. Yeah, someone served him. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
So, Jason, are your days of being a landlord over?
I mean, I'm not thinking about that right now. I mean, I think so, yes. I don't know what I'm going to do with the house. I'm definitely going to move into it and just my house again. I don't know if I could rent it again. That was just horrible. I mean, that was like a dark time in my life.
There was an article that was written by somebody in, a Substack sort of thing. It didn't seem like they talked to you about it. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And it really made it out like this guy was the victim and that you were a publicity hound and you could have gotten him out of there, but you really didn't want to. You weren't really living in your car and all of that was just all made up for the news.
So I went through that article. At that point, I was so depressed and upset that I almost didn't have any more energy to be even more upset. I went through that article. I guess you call it redlined everything. Every single line of that article was fabricated. And it's just like, I don't want to play in the mud with these people. anybody who is defending this guy is, this is a guy who's taking resources away from anyone who actually needs it. And I'm just like looking at these people who are trying to make him at the victim. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, find something, find a cause that actually makes sense. Don't pick this guy who's a professional scammer and stand behind him. It's like calling my van luxurious and all the stuff they did. It's just like it's unbelievable, actually.
Do you think he had a hand in that?
What's that?
Do you think he had a hand in that article?
Probably. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've been all over the news talking about it, and, you know, I don't, you know, maybe. I can't say yes or no, but, you know,
well,
who knows?
At least they said nice things about your dog, though, so that's good. That was at least good. Well,
yeah, he's
there it
right
is.
Here next to me.
It is the end
I have one more thing. I am going to throw a backyard barbecue party, and you have to come to it. All of you guys are going to see it.
Oh, a backyard barbecue party. You know, I can think of a few things I like to set on fire to start that barbecue, and it's there in the front of your house. Leftover squatter stuff. Okay, it's protected. Okay, sorry. But yes, you let me know when that is. I will be there at the backyard barbecue. And this ends a dark chapter in your life. Brighter days ahead for you, my friend. And for the last time, for the last time, Jason. So get out of my justice served.
Finally.
Ugh. Happy ending, which is really nice.
Yes.
I know.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. And the sun is shining. Even better. Okay, bye-bye. All right, Sherry, here we go. How to win an argument, how to deal with bullies, and what's the general theory of this? Is it how to be more positive, or what is it again, Joe? What did
how
you
to control a conversation.
Oh, yes. Ooh. I'm going to try it, but we're going to learn them all now, and then we're going to be using them throughout the show and perhaps for the, you know, the duration of how long this newstainment thing keeps going here. So it's kind of like mind manipulation. So you ready? If you have any questions, we'll begin now with our class. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
9 manipulation tricks that will make you the master of control. Number one, to make someone second guess themselves, simply ask, are you sure about that?
Are you sure about that? That one's going to come back to haunt you, Sherry.
Number 2, if someone tries to argue with you, stay calm and whisper your response. They'll have to quiet down to hear you. Number 3.
No joke.
Whisper. If they try to argue with you. So I'd say, do you want pineapple on your pizza, Sherry? Don't you always get pineapple on the pizza?
Never.
Wow. Okay. It worked. All right. Move on.
When someone says sorry to you, don't just say no problem. Say thank you and they won't do it again. Number 4.
Ooh. Say no problem. Okay.
Or, if someone bullies you, laugh at them. They'll become embarrassed.
Yeah, and then they'll punch you in the throat. These are all good with dealing with Nate. You know, Nate appears like a nice guy. Oh, he's reading about traffic and backup on 160. He's a monster. He is a monster.
Oh. Ow, geez. What? Are you sure about that?
Don't want those cookies. Yes, hang
on. 5. If someone asks you, do you know what time it is? Nod your head and say yes.
Power move. Oh,
I can't stand that.
Write that one down. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're wrong. See? 6.
To stop someone from yelling at you, stand closer to them and say, having a bad day. Number 7.
That's great.
I can't believe you're following this.
If you want someone to stop talking, drop something on the ground, and as you pick it up, interrupt them.
Or break
wind. That's a good one. Oh, that's even better.
Drop something on the ground.
Number 8. If you want to capture everyone's attention, look at the sky in shock. This will create a commotion. Number 9. To divert...
How about that one? Look at Sky. Okay. Commotion to follow.
And finally, someone's attention from a topic, ask them a personal question. This will make them focus on themselves instead.
Huh?
Right. So if you're talking about a subject that's making you uncomfortable, or if someone else is, then you just try to put in a question like, well,
I got it. Where'd you get that rash?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Got it. Jotted them all down. And as you can see, I can't read my own writing. Look at the sky and whisper.
No, look at the sky and act shocked.
And then look at the sky and then drop something. Got it.
You're going to be a winner.
No stopping us now, Sherry.